Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Oh my gosh, tonight Keith Lee almost killed himself in the middle of the ring. Killian Dane is on a mission, and you don't talk trash about Rhea Ripley. It's the NXT After Show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
Yeah.
Yes.
What? It's the Wednesday night delight.
Damn WWE right.
WWE NXT.
Damn
How's
right.
everyone doing there? It's your boy Flo Pizzo, Global Voice. So glad and so proud to be part of your life and second screen. The NXT After Show and AfterBuzz TV, exclusively on AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports. Got a lot of stuff to go into today. A huge show, week three of the two-hour format and the one network thing. You know how it goes. Before we do, let's talk to the man, the myth, the legend. This guy is a veteran of the Challenge After Show. His fans call him Punk Rock. Give it up for David Christopher. How's it going?
Man, I love that. You're gonna be like my new hype man, dude. I'm feeling that. I was like buying that myself. Like, yeah, this guy. Yeah.
Was
like,
I lying to you?
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
How's your week? How's everything going?
Good, man. Good. It's been busy, as I was saying, jumping around all over the place. You know the crazy life in LA, man. But good.
Oh yeah,
good.
I know. Making that money, making that dream happen. NXT live from Full Sail. Just overall thoughts of the show. What do you think about that?
I really enjoyed it. I think I liked it way more than I did last week, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just thought the matches were just a lot more entertaining, I guess the best way to put it, you know what I mean? And then, you know, the storyline, just starting to see it unfold a little bit more. Some of the wrestlers are, I think, starting to find, you know, their groove a little bit better, I think, as we're going on now. I think I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I thought the show was pretty solid. Granted, some of the matches weren't as, like, the takeover-worthy things we're used to, but it's definitely a long-term play of WWE. Tonight's episode is going to have the boot thing of the week. We're also going to take your calls a little bit later. So here's a number to write down. If you're going to be able to call in a little later, it's 424-354-8302. We'll open the phone lines a little later so you can ask us a question, comment, or concern about everything. So, like I was saying, man, I mean, the Wednesday Night War is there. There's that other show we can't mention anymore contractually. NXT has great matches, has great energy, but, you know, for me, it just seems that this episode in particular had pretty much a one-sided thing. There were very few matches that I thought I knew the result was going to be, or I was wrong what the result was going to be going into it. Just your thoughts about that.
I mean, I guess I agree. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, some of the stuff was a little bit obvious. I mean, we both were stumped on that Dune match. So, I mean, that was a little different, right? I mean, then you're seeing different storylines come to play. And then, I mean, we keep getting teased by the Finn things. I mean, there's things there, yeah, that are predictable, but I'm still anxious to see where everything kind of plays out. You know, even with the Baszler thing, I mean, now everybody's on board for that, you know, or online jumping on trying to, you know, face a champ, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with that first. I mean, the main event tonight was Pete Dunne against Damian Priest, the Archer of Infamy, which I wrote down in my notes. I'm not really sure what he is, right? It was almost like, is he supernatural? Is he going to be some sort of like Mordecai character?
I'll answer that for you.
Okay,
not to cut you off, but he's a modern day Gangrel.
See, that's what I thought too. I know we're going out of order, bright guy.
Right.
But that's what I thought too. But it was like, Mauro said something like, "Oh, we'd be in Studio 54 popping bottles and talking to models." I'm like, Gangrel never did that. Gangrel ain't there like slapping girls around. Like, hey, you know, it's just kind of a weird thing. So I didn't think he was going to win until the middle of the match. Mauro says that Damian Priest is undefeated. I forgot he was.
You know, we had talked about that before. Like, I thought, you know, we're definitely giving it to Dunn, going that route, or it's going to be some kind of, you know, interference, obviously, with what happened before the match. You know, I agree with you. It's something that, you know, what we had talked about, I don't know if we should jump into yet, but where we are potentially going with these storylines with, you know, Dunn obviously having that little conflict before the match, and then now Priest, you know, being undefeated, taking that win.
Right.
Where does that leave? And does that mean that there's potential now for Belair?
Right, you had a good point about having that little schmoz before with Dunn and Dane, and like, Dunn just snapped his fingers.
Right, like, what was that?
And Dunn
was like, okay,
work.
See you later.
Yeah, but then Finn is saying, you know, I think, quote, like, my past is my future is my past, or my past is my future. There's a possibility that, hey, I mean, they may be, he is a top heel, top solo heel who's not in Undisputed Era right now, your boy Balor can get his work in there. The thing is, though, do you want to see that match? Do you want to see Finn Balor versus Damian Priest?
See, here's the thing, and we had talked about this too, is what match do we really want to see with Balor? Who could really step up to that plate?
Right.
I mean, that's tough right now, you know?
I guess Dane would be the only other single heel.
Yeah.
Even then, I personally am not on board with Dane, but he has his fans, right?
Right. True. So, I mean, that's a tough call, and I think Priest is in one of the best positions to take that spot, you know?
Right.
And then even his character, you know, if you talk about Finn with, like, the demon and that whole vibe, and I mean, I think it'd be definitely an entertaining match.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's tough, but, I mean, I think he's in a good spot.
Just the last thing about that pretty much before we move on. I like the fact that Full Sail actually gave that match its due. It felt like Full Sail was on their hands. Granted, again, the matches didn't have the marquee names you see in the program, but the actual wrestling was dope, which I thought was pretty solid, but it felt like they were just on this mute thing until the main event. And then that exchange that Priest had with Dunn, it was kind of totally well-deserved. So I didn't know how uneven that was about. Just thoughts about them all day with the crowd.
I mean, the crowd seemed, it was up and down, but there were the moments you saw when they were just like, this is awesome, you know, and then chanting, you know, there's some good spots in there throughout, I think, all of the matches. Some of them obviously weren't as great, obviously, but throughout, I think the whole show as a full package, I think there were some really great moments in there, and I think that's what kept the crowd engaged and, you know, all the way to the end, because you got 2 hours now, you know, so at the end of that, it's one of those things where, you know, people could check out very easy, but this match, it lived up to its potential. They gave it a good push. I mean, the action in the ring was awesome. There were some really good spots in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think overall, I think the fans got a good show.
You know who's not checking out? Our chat roll, the best chat roll in the business. Shout out to Zeno Hour, Joseph Boza, Lucia. How you doing? Dang MQ.
Yep, yep.
Giving everyone out some love out there. External Shockwave. Even though he and I were not seeing eye to eye after the Monday Night Raw after the show, I still love you, man. All questions and comments and concerns are great. We're here in the chat. We're watching your questions. So if you have anything, make sure you reach out. Support the show with the super chat function. It's an S in the box. You can support the show that way. And leave comments because we read everything. But before we move on, David Christopher, can you tell the world how they listen to this AfterBuzz show?
Yeah.
AfterBuzz shows?
So definitely, you know, obviously we can't do this without you guys. We love being here. We love doing what we do. We love talking and interacting with all you guys. So whether you're watching us on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you prefer, make sure you give us a thumbs up, those likes, give us top 5 rating.
Top 5!
This is 10, yeah. Let us know how you feel, how you're digging the show, because we appreciate it. And again, we can't do this without you guys, and we love being able to do this. So make sure you give us that support, those thumbs up, leave us your comments. We love to talk to you guys.
Smooth. Shout out to Josh the Dosh, who authored a comment on the iTunes review this week, who says, quote, always awesome to listen in on you guys. Great coverage and very entertaining!
Well, thank you. Thank you. Greatly appreciate that.
Are you cheering me?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes,
the Santino Morello. Hey. So the show starts off with Tommaso Ciampa, right? His first match back against Angel Garza, a match that was set up because Angel bumped him in backstage. Very, very quick match. Now, we're not really sure what Tommaso Ciampa's path is going to be, but it's looking more and more like he's going to be a face. Thoughts about that?
I'm thinking the same thing, you know? Again, we were talking about that. Where is he going to go now? What's his path? And I think he is going to be a face. I think the crowd's going to win him over. He's got that, you know, that buzz, that pump from coming back now. And I think that's just kind of the energy that we're feeling. And I think that's probably the best route for him in this position right now.
You know who doesn't like that? Adam Cole. He just came out there and was like, hey, man, I know you call it goalie, but it's mine now.
Right.
Takeover's on the horizon. I mean, it's the end of October. Survivor Series and all that's coming next month. It looks like it's going to be Ciampa versus Cole for that. Do you think Undisputed Era is going to retain here if that match is set up, or do you think it's going to be like a quick wrath for Goldie and Ciampa?
You know, that's tough only because of how everything is starting to flip a little bit. You know, I want to say Adam's going to retain, of course.
Yeah.
I would say that's a given. But again, Ciampa's got some good heat right now. He's got a buzz. If he's going to be the face, I think it could potentially be a route that NXT might try out. I mean, it's hard to say, but I'll say I'm gonna give him the benefit of that. Actually, Ciampa, you know what? I'm gonna give it to you, man.
Yeah.
Yes, you're gonna take it. We'll see what happens. You're coming back from an injury. I'm rooting for the underdog, man.
It's kind of weird to me that he is compared to Adam Cole, Tommaso looks like he's a face, but he like kicked the Mexican flag in the corner.
Right.
So I don't know.
Come on,
like, come on, man.
You're right.
Yeah, but moving on, we had a dope tag team match in a different way. The Britam Brawlers, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan against Imperium. And the reason why I say it's dope is it is one of the most pure technical matches I've seen in like the last 2-3 weeks. The problem is, a lot of plain black trunks. It looks like it was pretty boring. You can't show that kind of match to someone and say, oh my gosh, it's Danny Burch.
Right.
Imperium, even without Walter, thoughts about them as a group and how they can like section off and have different computations and permutations?
I mean, overall, especially if you're talking about technical wrestling, man, I mean, that's their niche, right? That's what we're going to see with them, and I think that's what's going to help them evolve and find their way into this whole, you know, NXT era. So, I mean, it's one of those things that I think just I'm curious to see what they're going to do going forward, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I like Imperium, and they're definitely – I like the fact that they're taking the old school thing. And right. Technical wrestling is one of those things that I think now more and more talents have a base, even though they can do the flair and flippy stuff. But in personalities don't have to be. I think the best technical wrestlers, you can argue, didn't have much personality. Dave Malenko, Bret Hart was had a little bit, Lance Storm.
Well, Arn Anderson, you know, whole era. Like, oh, yeah,
wow, that's, man, that's an OG. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But I worry that because we also live in an era of like the flash a bit that they may be seen as boring. So I'm not really sure what's next for them.
I think that's in a way kind of good though, because like I said, that's their niche. You know, they found that's them. That's what they're going to do. So I mean, we'll see if it works. But I feel because there's so much nostalgia going around right now. You know, it's kind of that time.
Right.
I think it might work for them. We'll see. Time will tell. You know, but I think because we do have a whole lot of flash, it is the, you know, the evolution of the athlete. But again, there's still that nostalgic factor there that some people still like to see that and that technical wrestling again. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, I like it.
Yeah, for sure. I want to see what you guys think in the chat about the idea of the rise of technical wrestling, maybe at the expense of some of the character or pyro or like kick pad ring gear. Just your thoughts about this classic wrestling. You know, that's wrestling. A way to throw it back to the Saturday morning.
Right. You know? Yes, sir.
We get a quick promo from Johnny Gargano, right? So here's the thing I want to ask you, because you're a new person in Japan, you're addition, you're permanent, you're on the poster here at the NXT After Show. Over the past year, we've gone from saying John is a guy that doesn't get his due, and Jim Alexander disagrees. I think he's like kind of a shrimp, right? But then it was like we were all behind him, the whole dark DIY thing. Then he got the title, and then it was like, well, Johnny, what else you got? And now he's coming back. Just your thoughts about Gargano, his career. Are you pro Gargano, neutral, or anti Gargano?
At this point, I know this probably isn't a popular answer, but I'll just say I'm neutral right now at this point, because again, like you said, I know it's a boring answer, I get it, but again, like he has had those ups and downs. It's to me personally, when I'm watching him, I'm like, yeah, what is next for this guy? Where is he going to go? So I don't want to say I'm necessarily against him, but again, I'm still trying to see where this guy's going to go. So I'm kind of neutral, and I know that's not a cool answer, but that's just kind of, I'm waiting to see what happens.
Does it bother that he calls himself Johnny Wrestling?
I mean,
ask me this question, Punk Rock, let me know.
I'll say, okay, from where he's at right now, yes, that's a bold statement. You
okay.
know what I mean? Let's get you up to the big dogs. Let's put you through a couple of, you know, those top guys. And I mean, you got like guys like CMT, best in the world, CM Punk,
right.
Excuse me.
Country Music Television is the best in the world.
Right. I mean, you know, we have the Jericho, which I don't know if I could say now, but I mean, we have him, you know, as best what he does, you know, Bret Hart way back
Shane
then.
Shane McMahon, best in the world.
Right, exactly. So that's a bold statement to put yourself up there with guys like that, you know?
You can
so,
take Shane, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, does that bother me? Yes, that bothers me. At this point, yes.
So we were talking about this before the show, is that if you were talking about the possibility of you actually becoming a professional wrestler.
Yes, sir.
You would like to try, if given the opportunity.
Well, here's the thing. I could have, this is a way back now, you know, I could have went out to the FCW and trained.
FCW?
You know, FCW. I was heavily involved with music. I was a professional musician at one point. So I stuck with that. I did train with Rick Drayson here in Los Angeles to, you know, some wrestling training.
So you can bump it all that day. Stuff.
I know some bumps. Wow. You know, I have an MMA background, so I've competed, you know, just amateur stuff early on. And so, yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I'm an athlete. I've competed on TV as an athlete. So it's one of those things that absolutely I want to do it.
Yeah. Wait, you competed on TV as an athlete?
Yeah. And I was actually on Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge.
What?
Yeah.
So you can basically choke me out three different
Stone
sports.
Cold.
Just call me Steve.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the idea of would you try out? Right?
Absolutely.
So we actually Googled it, and I didn't even know this has existed, but there's actually the site, the WWEPerformanceCenter.com.
It was like that easy.
With a giant big red apply now button. I think we should all go for it. We should have a party. We should all go to your house and get some like some health drinks and not get beer
right.
and just apply and see what happens, you know, if it's that crazy. I have no athletic skill to save my life. I tried. I'm so bad at when I play like pick up basketball, my opponents help me out. Look, bro, just plant your feet here and you shoot. It'd be great. But if you want to go for it, man, I think you should. That'd be awesome.
Hey, but basketball is a team game, bro. That's all right. That's okay. It's a team sport.
Yeah, that's right. Know? L.A. LeBron. Yeah. Moving on, we had the first women's match of the night. Io Shirai against Caden Carter. Caden Carter, I'm not sure how familiar you are with her because she has only been in a couple matches, but she's about 5 years in the game, was in the Mae Young Classic last year under the name Lacey Lane, which is really why it's kind of like this link here. I understand that. So Lacey on the roster.
Yeah.
I like Caden Carter. There's a lot of upside to her. She's built from the Philippine Islands. Well, I'm not sure how that's going to relate to her character, but the last two times she's on TV, she takes a loss. Io Shirai is on this rocket. She's a top heel of the company. I understand you have to get new talents out there, but does that really hinder new talent when they are shown so infrequently and they lose? Or do wins and losses don't even matter?
I mean, that's the question, because you have seen both sides. You have seen where these losses can hinder. It depends on the buildup, and obviously, you know, Shirai, they're building her up. She's the heel. She's the big dog, you know, in that situation. So I think that's the route they're pushing right now. It could be a bad thing, but again, it's still too early on.
Yeah, wins and losses don't matter. Right, right. Well, the chat, back to the whole Gargano thing, most of them seem to be on Gargano's side. They are pro Gargano. Okay, and it looks like he's going to be a NXT lifer, whatever it means. So I don't think he's going to headline WrestleMania anytime, but he might headline a takeover. That'd be kind of cool. The match itself was good. The Io Shirai match was great. She gets in the microphone, Io Shirai does, cuts a promo saying it's her, she's the next person in line. Rhea Ripley comes out, not having it, being all large and imposing, as we see here on the chat. Jack Farmer, who is my good friend Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, not on Wednesday night, always said that Rhea Ripley had a built-in look. I mean, she looks like she is dominant, even here and across the pond.
Absolutely.
There's always been a question here about the idea of a tweener, right? The idea is someone can go be a face or a heel in the women's division. Do you think Rhea has that range, or am I just having the wishful thinking because she's willing to beat everyone up at any point in time?
I think naturally when you look at it, you're going to think heel. Absolutely. She does have that built-in look. But again, we've seen so much. I mean, when you think about it, look at Stone Cold, which is one of the biggest wrestlers of all time, right? I mean, he was essentially a heel turned face, but I mean, he's a badass. He's got that built-in look, but he was a face at the same time, you know? So I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, she does naturally have that look where you think right away, this is the bad guy. But you never know. I mean, it just depends on what the story
is. You never know, because even on NXT UK, which is a show that I don't watch as often as I should, but I watched last week's episode, she seemed to be like this anti-hero. I'll help you out in the match, not because I like you, but because I want to make sure my opponent gets, you know, it's kind of a real thing. So moving on to that, we get so it's the best of three, right? Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic. Because of that video we saw earlier in the night where Velveteen Dream was decimated by the Undisputed Era, William Regal, Lord William Regal, says this is going to be for the number one contender for Roderick Strong's NA title match. Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, 3. Thoughts on the match overall first before we get to nitty gritty?
First of all, I thought it was funny how quickly that happened. You know, it was all of a sudden like, oh, then here's really, there's this interruption, then there's William Regal, and here's the match. It was kind of like... I mean, obviously, we know it's already laid out, but it just happened so quick.
Yeah. He's like, I knew this would happen. Right. Let's go.
I mean, of course. Yeah, that's going to be a great match. Absolutely. Are you asking me what direction you think it's going?
No, it's the thought about the match itself. The third match. I mean, Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic had 3 matches in NXT, but they've been going at it with each other for about, I'll say, 8 years, maybe. They've been doing it underneath for a long time. Thought about this match. Forget about the NA title implications going into it, because Full Sail didn't look like they were interested in this one. I gotta be honest with you. It was, I felt like they were trying to make it way different because they had done this match before. But once you added the NA title stipulation, they could have just said, let's give you the cheeseburger. Let's give you what we were used to. They didn't do that. So I just want to see your thoughts if you agree or disagree about that.
Personally, I like the match overall. Okay. I mean, there were some times and there was a little, I think the spots were really good. I mean,
dangerous.
Yeah, that one with Lee where he basically landed on his neck was pretty bad.
Bask in his glory.
The guy is size, man. The way he moves is athleticism. I mean, that's, you know, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. I thought the match was fun. I mean, there was moments in there where I got it like, okay, but again, they're bigger guys. It's one of those things. They're not necessarily that fast paced.
Yeah.
So you're going to expect that a little bit. But
I'm going to get myself in trouble here. Guys, I'm not turning heel. I am not a body shamer. If you guys didn't know anything about me, my personal life, I used to weigh 375 pounds myself. Now, Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Man. Thanks, nice. Man. I appreciate it. Subway diet, it really works. Keith Lee is a fantastic talent, but he kind of reminds me of baseball's Babe Ruth, that a guy that just has his natural talent but never trained. Do you think that Keith Lee, as limitless as he is, could have a higher ceiling if he were just, you know, it's a little bit more trimmed? Or am I just looking too into the physicality of the male form as a wrestling professional?
I think that's a fair question. I do. Because he clearly has a talent. And again, you know, this is one of those, this is a sport where you have to be able to go. And if he did increase that cardio, he trimmed up a little bit. I mean, I think he can definitely push a little bit more. Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. It's only going to hinder you not to, right? So I would say yes. And I almost, you know, you're throwing back Babe Ruth. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Junkyard Dog a little bit.
Okay. Kind of all right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's way back.
Different
kind of
throwback. But yeah. Junkyard Dog is amazing. If you guys haven't seen his matches, you probably should. He was a legend, very underrated during his time.
Right.
The matches up was slow, I thought, but the idea now, because Roderick Strong got involved in the match, it was a non finish. Regal comes out, like you were saying, like triple threat match.
Right.
Does Roderick Strong retain, or does Keith Lee or Dominik Dijakovic get the NA title?
I'm going to say he retains right now, but I mean, Keith Lee's getting, I think he's getting a good push, man. I think the crowd's starting to win him over. I mean, they're, you know, as you saw in this match, at least I saw, the crowd was into him.
Yeah.
They're backing him.
Oh, yeah. He's the most charismatic guy in the brand.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say he retains and maybe they keep that feud going a little bit.
Yeah.
But I can see Lee taking the title down the road.
Yeah. Keith Lee.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Here's one of the matches I was talking about, moving on, where you kind of knew the result was going in. So the graphic came up, Matt Riddle in action, which is always a sign it's going to be a squash match. But who he took on was Bronson Reed, someone from the breakout tournament, didn't go pretty far, definitely weighed a lot more than Matt Riddle, but Matt Riddle gets the win. There's thoughts about this, back to the idea of not seeing Bronson in so many weeks, and then his last two outings were losses, and he basically took a lot of offense, like, in a row. It was almost like he was not hitting the reverse button on time because Matt Riddle was playing on God mode. Thoughts about that match?
I mean, again, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes they're just using guys as fall guys, or they're just seeing where they play out and, you know, with the crowd, how they're doing. I mean, again, like you said, he's been gone. He's taking these falls. I didn't expect a whole lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what we got, I think.
Well, Matt Riddle has to get his heat back, right?
Because
he definitely lost a couple of those big matches as well. But
exactly.
I like Bronson Reed, the former Jonah Rock. I'm sure I'm just looking into it too narrowly. He's going to be like a champion in a year's time. Yeah. But it just felt like, man, I mean, there's competitive matches and there's squashes. And what we got was a competitive match that turned into a squash,
right?
Which was kind of weird to me to watch. But hey, you know, not all matches can be what I like, right?
Right.
It has to be something I can appreciate or whatever. And also, moving on, we had a little quick injury report about Kushida and his match against Walter last week. I'm not sure how real these injury reports are, but his wrist injury is out for a month, so that was solving the problem that I was having last week about where does Kushida go, because he was once undefeated as well. What does he do for the next hour or so? Moving on, second women's match of the night. Tegan Nox versus Tainara. I know you're a martial artist. I know Tainara is another person that we've seen a couple times. Tegan Nox returning from injury, like her partner Dakota Kai, which also makes an appearance. Besides thoughts of the match, I want to see your thoughts about the prospect of coming back from injury, right? We're all like, imagine we're virtual GMs and someone goes, hey, Tegan Nox. You're like, wow, it's a fantastic competitor. But she had two repaired ACLs. Are we worried about her upside, or is it just pretty much just keep going on faith?
You know what? It's both. I think obviously they're having faith in her because they put her back out there. But two, it's always going to be on the back of your mind. And I think even just for Nox, once you have an injury like that, and you've heard many wrestlers talk about it, it's something that's kind of sticks with you, right? So
right.
I think that's always going to be something that's there. She performed great tonight. Obviously,
yeah.
She killed it. She did good. And me, I always root for, you know, like I said, the underdog, make those comebacks. She came back. She did great. You know, I hope this doesn't affect her long-term down the road. You know,
right.
We'll see what happens with her. But again, I also was with Tainara at the same time, you know, like I think she did great. She had a great match. You know, of course, they're going to give it to Nox, but I would like to see it go the other way, to be honest.
There's always that thing about the physical recovery and the psychological recovery.
Right.
Like, you know, I got to say that there's always that part where you have to trust your body again to do the certain things. Mark Donica's in the chat. What's up, Mark? What up?
What's up?
At the Buzz OG saying the injury reports are legit. So there's that. Shout out to Kushida, right?
It's confirmed. It's real because the internet says so.
Yeah, the internet says so. And if you can flip a coin, we don't know what's going on with that. So also, Velveteen Dream is out for a different amount of time as well. So injury reports are all over the place. Right. So we have, moving on, we have... I was waiting for that, right, guy? since I have no cocoa butter to sell and there's no boudoir, it's now time for Filipino's Boo Thing of the Week, where I talk about people... Or ladies out there, our female talent, who do things a little bit out of the ordinary, and give you a little bit of a spotlight, a little shout out. I want to give out to Tegan Knox, because we just mentioned before, coming back from injury, her second ACL repair, and then her career, and she's still going out there, new gear, new vibe, new intensity. Like I said before, there's always a physical balance of things, and always trusting your body, and to be able to go back out there and not say, "Wolf, I'm done." Gotta give it to the lady with the shiniest wizard, Miss Tegan Knox. And that's why you are this week's
There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Walk me through the BOA match. BOA, Killian Dane, Chinese superstar, young, good looking. Killian Dane, not as good looking. Yeah. Fantastic talent.
You talk about squash matches. I mean, you know, I'm probably wrong for this, but I felt like this was a squash match, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked pretty early on what was going to happen, and. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say about this one. I wasn't too entertained, to be honest.
Yeah, I have like the upset of BOA. BOA looks like the kind of guy that you'll see on the programs or the trucks, or he'll do like the Today Show or international appearances. but yeah, I think even though, again, it makes sense to have a squash match because he was injured by Killian Dane. The problem I always have with Dane's return is you haven't given me reason to care. Now, I'll take that back because that thing with Pete Dunne and that quick interaction, I was like, okay, I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
But by the time I'm watching this match and I see the third Vader bomb, I go, well, what's the point? You've destroyed BOA, right? If you did that to Finn Balor, that's a whole different, like, my mom would say, pot of pumpkin. you know what I'm saying? But you came out and destroyed a guy who was already injured, so I don't really know what his upside is. I felt like for the longest time he was aimless at what a storyline. Hopefully the Pete Dunne thing comes out, because frankly, Killian Dane's a kind of aggressive talent that someone who's also, like, methodical would be great. Right. Like, he would work with a Ciampa, he would work with a Pete Dunne. I know we're kind of getting ahead in predictions if you do that now, but Killian Dane, Pete Dunne, thoughts about that, if that comes to fruition?
Absolutely, and I think it's going to happen. I mean, that we already had that nice little setup in the beginning, which was kind of funny, because, I mean, he essentially breaks his fingers, and then it's just like, all right, see you later, going to my match. Again, I think that's also with the BOA, that was just a setup to show the dominance, the power of Dane, you know, like, pretty much just made quick work of him, and then that altercation happens, and it obviously now makes sense, seeing what happened with Priest, that looks like the direction that's going, which I think that'll be a good feud too, you know what I mean? That'd be great to watch.
Especially getting Balor back in the mix, like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to open the phone lines now. Remember, the number to call is 424-354-8302, 424-354-8302, excuse me. Again, shout out to everyone in the chat having the time of the week. Yeah, Boo Thing of the Week, man, because, you know, there's no boo-wah. Just don't tell TK, because on Monday I knew the boo-wah, and they totally ratted me out. And TK's like, no. So, you skipped the boo-wah on Monday? And I was like, please don't hurt me, TK. So, two matches were set up for next week. We have, quote, officially, The Nightmare, Rhea Ripley against Bianca Belair. Thoughts about this match and what it means for the women's division?
I think we kind of gone over this last time, but I mean, obviously I'm with Ripley. Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. It's great for, you know, the women, of course. But I think this direction, I mean, it's interesting to see. Who do you feel is going to be more of the face in this one?
That's my point. It feels like it's two heels on paper,
right?
Which doesn't usually work out. But it's NXT, where what's an alignment? If you're badass or if you're fun or what have you? I feel like Bianca is going to play more of the face, just because even though she's stronger, Rhea Ripley's size is so imposing.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense. But that's just my opinion.
No, I mean, that's what you would assume the natural story is, right? You know, and it's, again, it's going to all come down to the direction, of course, that they want to go, even with the writing. But I think, personally, you know, I think it makes more sense to go with Ripley, because that just looks so much more, like, entertaining when you see two giants going
So it's funny how Ripley's on both divisions, NXT UK and NXT. She's,
right,
like, just flying, making these fire miles. Zeno Iris says, believe in BOA. I do. I actually like BOA. I like him a lot. I don't like the fact that his gear is too close to Tozawa's, but that's something you can change. I like the fact he's young and he's fresh face and has a dope moveset. But,
yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on BOA at all. I'm just saying, you know, they just kind of squashed him, you know, like, in this match. I think it could have been a little bit better for him.
Yeah.
you know, that's all.
I love squash matches too. That they serve a purpose.
Yeah.
I think on an episode like today, you could have done with like one bitter bomb. Right. And the point would have been put across.
Yeah.
And the other one, other shot was a triple threat match of Strong, Lee, Keith Lee, and Dominik Dijakovic. Now we said that we think that Roderick Strong is going to retain.
Right.
Here's a question I have for you though. Does Roderick Strong retain this match clean? Like, does he like get away with murder, or does the Undisputed Era get involved and causes a tipping of the scales?
Of course they're getting involved, you know, and I think that's what's going to carry out the storyline, and I think Lee and him are going to have that rivalry for a while to eventually where Lee takes it. Okay. But I mean, he's the heel. That's what's going to happen.
I think so too, but here's a counterpoint. Because of all the four guys, right? You got I'm Cole, bye-bye. You got the Red Dragon. You got O'Reilly and Fish. It always seemed to me when Roderick Strong was added, he was that guy. He was the fourth guy. If he won this match clean, they might cement him more as a threat. But there is that specter there being like, well, my man's in a fight. My gang won't be like, whatever.
Right.
Let me know if he won or not. Right. But I would love to see him win a match clean like that where strictly his moves or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. I mean, he's got the talent, too.
You know? So, he's got the talent, too. You guys can go. The phone lines are still open. 424-354-8302. That's, once again, 424-354-8302. We had talked about guys on the breakout tournament being featured more or less than what you think they would be. Like Jordan Miles won the tournament, had a match against Adam Cole and kind of fade out. Cameron Grimes was on a tear for a couple weeks, but we haven't seen him. The breakout tournament guys, I feel like they may get lost in the shuffle, but what can they do? What, if you had these eight guys, what would you do to keep them on top of mind?
You know, again, it's you're going to have your impact players, of course. You know, the fact that you're bringing Finn back, you got Adam Cole, you got, you know, Ciampa now. I mean, those guys are going to take, you know, the glory, of course. So depending on how you're going to sprinkle out these new guys, you're going to have to make it interesting amongst those guys, right? Because if you have the main guys leading the roster, it's going to obviously naturally be about those guys. So until you have something that makes sense, you have another breakout star amongst those breakout stars, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's going to always probably kind of seem like second best, you know?
Oh, I think we have our first call. You're on the air. What's your name and where you're from?
Aaron from Houston.
What's up, Aaron? Houston?
What's going on? Hey, I just had a question. Do y'all think they're building up a future Rhea versus Tegan kind of rivalry with what happened in the Classic? And what about Velveteen Dream or someone like causing Roderick Strong to lose the title next week, and that way they can continue their feud after that match?
Oh, that's a good question. Thanks for your call, man. Look, the Rhea Ripley Tegan Knox thing, it's built in. That's always great. And it's one thing you can hot shot and say, hey, Tegan's healthy, let's do it, because, you know, you're in my spot or what have you. But then at the same time, we're talking like the Miz, Daniel Bryan, or like Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston. You can come back to any point in time. I would love to do that. It's hard to say that because both Tegan Knox and Rhea Ripley are on both NXT brands simultaneously. Either you would have to like make it a storyline that spreads across those two things, which is kind of cool, I can't lie, or you have to like drill it down and say, here's this 4 week or this 6 week or this 8 week program is why they're doing it. Now, as far as Dream causing Roderick Strong the match, what are you talking about? Think about that.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take, to be honest. I mean, I already gave my take on what I think is going to happen, but I mean, that's obviously, I mean, that would be interesting.
That'd be great. Because I feel like more and more that they're trying to tweak the Dream. I feel like they're going to give us the same flamboyant guy we like. They're going to give us the guy with the third eye and the Dream over and the dope hair, because I'm jealous of having hair. But he's not going to be the Prince-like clone. He's not going to be the guy that's going to look like, oh, you're cosplaying as the artist formerly known as Prince Ikea.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to be your own man. But no, time will tell, man. So, man, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So, TakeOver, the November TakeOver, also known as War Games, the last 2 years has been Undisputed Era. Those guys, it's been their signature match. And there was talk. We have another call?
We do have another call. Do you want to take it real quick?
Yeah, let's take a call real quick.
Here you are. You're live with NXT After Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Lucci from Brooklyn.
Lucci, hey, Brooklyn's in the house. That's what I'm talking about. Where Brooklyn are you from, man?
I'm from Flatbush.
I'm from Flatlands. You know what's up, man. Shout out to King's Plaza.
Yeah, man. Brooklyn, right, man. You know how we do it.
You know, you built the building.
How we do it, man.
What's good, man? How can I help you?
I didn't really have so much of a question, just food for thought.
Okay.
Like, do you think they could stretch the Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa rivalry for Royal Rumble? Only because this is like the first rivalry that Adam Cole really had, apart from Johnny Gargano, because he did it 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, do you think, because War Games is coming up, and I think the Undisputed Era is going to be in the cage, but so probably not, because Imperium is there. But I'm only saying that because I think that they could stretch the Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole, like, Undisputed Era comes and ruin the match, or, you know, stretch it out. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And that, in fact, that was a question I was going to say. The Undisputed Era signature match seems to be War Games. As much as I like Imperium against them in that match, I would not do it, only because since Undisputed Era has all the titles at once, putting them with Imperium will make that match completely top heavy. Once you have it looked like they were setting up Dream and Ciampa to have like unholy alliance, and maybe another person in there to have that like counter team. That way, you free up Imperium to have other matches on that card. I mean, as much as we love the War Games match, and it's amazing, unless you're adding a third team, which also could be a possibility, I don't see them like putting all 8 guys in that match and making the rest just like things that have not been set up. But to answer your original question, absolutely, because War Games is a great kind of side diversion. But when it comes down to it, that takeover at Royal Rumble and that takeover at WrestleMania, that's the premier stuff. Tommaso Ciampa's story and recovery is amazing.
Yeah, and I believe it's there. The fans want to see it. It's one of those rivalries that you can definitely take that thing for good while. You know what I mean? And then now that, you know, the heat with Ciampa coming back, it's one of those things that it's going to be at the top of, I think, the best it could be. You know, if they, I'm just going to say, I don't think Cole's going to lose it. He won't lose it. It'll probably carry out maybe till the very end. Maybe if they drag it out a couple different matches, maybe at the end, I think he'll take it. But ultimately, I think Cole's going to retain, you know, depending on how long they drag it out.
Bye, thank bye. You. And Rod, Flobo.
Yeah.
Fresh, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
And you are the Virgil of the panel. I'm sad how you can say it.
I'm not the Virgil.
Did he call you a virgin?
No. So on Monday night, the guy we can't talk about on Wednesday was rusting doppelgangers. I got Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, all the black guys in the roster, and this dude tells me Virgil. Are you kidding me, yo? Dang. Yeah, thanks for your call, man. Virginia,
hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, man, but it's almost time for us to almost get out of here. I got to ask you this. Where can the world find you online, Nick Griffiths?
You can find me at David_Christopher_official on Instagram. You can find me at Fit TV Network, or just search me in that Google web. You'll find some stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a future WWE superstar. My name is Flobo Boyce. You can follow me at Flobo Boyce on Twitter, at Flobito on Instagram, and of course, Flobito.com. Monday night, we're back here for Monday Night Raw, and SmackDown is actually moving to Sunday, so make sure that's going to be on your calendar as well, but until next time, buzz you later.
Have a good night, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.